Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good. It's great to be here. Good to be back. As you can see, I'm probably wondering, Tony is not here. She had to go to a funeral, and while she was in the funeral, they come and told another one of her relatives, first cousins, had passed. So please keep in your prayer, as with everyone else that's on the prayer list. You know, I'm one of them kind of people that probably just happy-go-lucky all the time. And, you know, you look around and you see things and you never imagine how impactful it is until it happened to you. You know, and death has a way of bringing things down to earth, bringing things in perspective, because you got to know that you're in line too. And as Randy and I was talking this morning, we're all in the line. We're getting shorter. The line is getting short. So the best thing you can do is be ready. That's probably the only thing that you can do, is be ready. And you do that by being with the Lord, being obedient to the gospel. With that, let me go ahead and say, I thank the Lord for allowing us this day. It is truly wonderful to be here. God knows it is, because there's somebody that didn't get up this morning. And as we can see closer, there's some of them that got up, but just not in the same shape they were in. You just to have any of the blessings and gifts that God gives us is wonderful. We should appreciate that. I want to thank the church leadership for allowing me this opportunity to be here. I know we're not formally in that leadership mode, but we still have to make decisions. Things have to go on. We have to do the right thing. We have people that count on us, and you have your salvation that relies on you. So we have to have leadership. I want to thank my church family. It's good. It's good. You'll never hear me complain about coming up here. I thank God, you know, for having someone that, and it's like that when you got somebody that'll treat you good. You don't mind how far you come. You go be with them to hang with them, even though it's for 2 hours or whatever. And I know you say, I don't see Grady, but I like coming in here on Sunday morning to see you. I do. And I can see you other days if you come, if we get together. My wife and children, like I said, she's down in Watha, and me and the last one, we're right there now, fighting over who's going to let the chickens out in the morning. We're here. So with that being said, my sermon for today is it's kind of in line with what Chris and we have been going over through Sunday school. And my title is just a little bit surprising. I want you to listen and go through it and think about it as we go through. My supporting scripture will be coming from Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. I'll be reading from the NIV. Every so often I go from the NIV because the NIV will put it real plain for those sometimes that may not quite get it. I know I struggled with it a lot when I was coming up. So when you have it, say amen. I'll read. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why do your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, but sinners. My title for this morning, Are You Sick? Are You Sick? Now, you say, well, Greta, how are you going to get that tied up in there? But let me help you with that. When I was a kid coming up, I either was very, very healthy or did not want to take that stuff that Dad and them was giving us when we thought we were sick. That cod liver oil, castor oil, and all this other stuff that they was putting down on you, I know that should have been illegal in most states. Do that to a child. But because of how nasty that stuff was, I did not, even when I didn't feel good, I tried to make it look like I was feeling all right. My point is that when they told you you were sick, they had something for you. You needed help. When they told you you were sick, you needed help. They had something for you. Called liver oil. And here where we're going through, Jesus tells or used the same analogy to explain to the Pharisees what we as people of the church should be doing. He says, a doctor is for the sick. A doctor is for the sick. So let me go over the background with this just a little bit, because I got a couple of points to you. And then we are asked that question again at the end when we come up, and we can see how this message impacts our lives, how it gets us online with where we need to be. In the background, Jesus calls another one of the 12 disciples when he sees Matthew sitting in a booth working as a tax collector. So what do we deduce from that? That Jesus himself is picking up another one of his disciples, fulfilling his 12 number. But what's important is who he's picking up. A lot of us know him as St. Matthew. That's what we call him. St. Matthew, Matthews, that's what he is. Men like Matthew work for the Roman government at that time. You need to know that. Tax collectors were seen as immoral traitors by the common people of Israel. Some were crooked, all were hated. Ain't that something to have behind? That's Matthew. That's Matthew. Now, that's in the New Testament. That's him. That's who he's talking about. This is Matthew. But, the person that's picking it, the one that's choosing it, picked him. You see where this message is going. Jesus told Matthew to follow him. Soon, Jesus and other disciples are having dinner at Matthew's house with Matthew's friends, tax collectors, and other sinners. Now, this has already got to see. Wait a minute now. Hold it. He's a Christian, man. Everybody he's hanging with is thugs, crooks, and, you know. And they're over there at the house eating. There's a tremendous message that Jesus is making here. Tremendous. And we need to stick with it. When the Pharisees see this, they ask Jesus' disciples, why he eats with such people? Huh? This is the government's, oh. Now we know they crooked. Why is he over there hanging with them? This is y'all guy, y'all teacher. We know that. Jesus gives, well, the tax collectors, let me go further with it. The tax collectors, the Pharisees see that the tax collectors are people that the righteous should not be hanging with. That's what that is. That's the issue there. Discriminate. That's what that is. We don't want to mess with them. We are, what you call it, stereotyping. What do you call it? The term that we use to associate with a specific group. We right away, a tax collector is one of them you don't want to be caught with. You know, Daddy used to say, I don't want to see y'all up there with them up the road boys. Now, I didn't know what that meant until I got up with my brother, my oldest brother. My other brother said, the boys up the road go for bad. They always getting in fights and shot up at the club and stuff. So I don't want to see you up the road boys. So he'd already had a label for them. And that's what the Pharisees see these people. See, in their minds, the righteous people should not associate with any of those guys. Tax collectors, sinners, the whole nine yards. But Jesus is bringing a point very well home, very good to them. His point was in two parts. Jesus' point is in two parts. Jesus' first point, sinners are the very people who the people of God should be ministering to. Huh? Wait a minute now. Let's just stop right there. So, I shouldn't be ministering to people that's already righteous. What Jesus is saying, The sick need help. Those that are sinners, they need the help. That's who need the help. How does that impact us? On point one, church, we can't just be friendly with only the people in the church. Huh? That's what he's saying. Huh? He come to save the lost. If you are in him, supposedly claiming to be a Christian, you're not lost. You know where your help and strength come from. You don't need to bring these to Christ. It's like trying to save somebody that's already on the land. He ain't drowning no more. He's out there. You got some over there that's bubbly going down. We need to get them. So, number one, Jesus identifies that you can't just sit back in a complacent mode and bring souls to Christ. This group is already here. Your mission is to save the lost. That means sinners, tax collectors. What it says, I love the way they put it. He says, crooked and all hate it. Ain't that something? Some are crooked and all of them are hated. Every one of them. We don't like none of them. No, not a tax collector. And I got to be honest with you. I don't like paying taxes either. So, you know, I probably wouldn't be lovey-dovey with the guy that come collect mine. I'm just saying. But anyway, point two, Jesus pointed out these who don't think, listen to this one, who don't think they are sick. Who is he talking about? That's the ones in here that thinks that they are better than them out there. So he decided, Jesus, the way he put it, it's amazing how he done it. He says, the Pharisees, the ones who don't think they're sick, I don't have anything for you. In your faith, you feel like you're okay. How do you put that into perspective of your life or your world? We're all are sinners. Every single one of us. By the time you get to the point and you say, well, I'm not a sinner, he's the only one sitting around here. You just about at the point where you've lost your rabbit mind. That's right. Rabbit mind. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So what we have to secondly understand, people of the church, is that even though we're coming to church, we need help too. We need to see the doctor too. We need to see the doctor. So, when we go in and say, am I sick? Your answer should be yes. Yes, I need help too. I need to see the master too. See, because tomorrow is not promised. And regardless of how good I did yesterday, I still have this life right now to go forward in. So we have to look and understand what Jesus is getting across to us. Let me go ahead on though. Which brings me to my title. The title is, Are You Sick? I know I answered for you a while ago, but I want to get to it. Are you sick? When you're talking about sin, listen to this. Sick as, not quite as sick, almost sick, slight fever, not feeling well. I just ain't into it. That's all sick. Sinning. Coming short. I don't cuss, but I get upset. I'm living on this earth, but I'm all right. I went to church next Sunday. All of that. You fall in the category with sin. Understand that now. Understand that. And the reason why that has two folds or two impacts is that the sooner you understand that, the more you realize how important it is to go get the ones that are just out there. One of the reasons that I promote my Lord and Savior so strong is because of all the mess I done when I came up. And God brought me through. God brought me here. Remembering and understanding all the things that I thought I got away with. All the things that I done. Now, I know you say, well, Granny, you must have been a right out bad person. No, don't you fool yourself. If you're born in sin
and shaped in iniquity? Even your thoughts, where you think don't nobody know about, you're accountable for. You're accountable for. You've got to come to grips with this, because tomorrow is not promised. Listen to what Jesus said. Those who think they're not sick are the ones who probably need the doctor the most. So when he goes through his passage, his message here, he's identifying why I'm hanging with the ones I used to wouldn't associate with. You know, I was coming out, and I remember, like I told you, in our little community, we have a lot of churches around there, and there were certain ones that would say, you know, I've been in the church for X number of years. X number of years. And we had a, y'all, don't y'all laugh at this, I got to get you. We had people, I shouldn't say, but well, I'm going to say it. We had people, they sold liquor out of their houses, right? And on Sunday, the ABC store closed. So those that had to have a shot go to this house, these houses, to get the shot. The holy rolling, who thought they were better than thou, every time they passed them houses, they put it on them. See, that's no good. God need to blow the house up, bust it with lightning, and the whole nine yards. Don't hang with none of them people. They're just drunks. Now, surely, if you were one of those people and you were standing there in the yard, you certainly wouldn't want to be with that person. See how they're talking about him? And my dad and my uncle, they were something else when they got that fire water in them. They were something else. They'd ask you, so you better than me. Now, you can tell me that. That Bible tells you to talk to me like that. That's the kind of stuff they say. But the point here is that what we have to accept is that there is no sin worse than the other. And there's room in each and every one of our hearts to grow. Before we can grow in that heart, we've got to accept and understand the fact that we need to grow, that we are sick, that we do have problems, that we do sometimes fall short and treat people wrong. Sometimes, even you, I don't care how long you've been going to church, sometimes you're not your best Christian. Sometimes, you just didn't present God in the light that you should have presented him in if you're that person. With understanding that, it makes you able to go out and minister to that person, because now you can tell him about the struggle you got. I can say it ain't just me that's struggling with alcohol. He's struggling too with life. It ain't just me that's telling lies. It ain't just me that's cheating on the wife. It ain't just me. See, those things we don't like to talk about. Because Jesus tells, and listen who he goes to get. He go get who? Matthew. Yeah, people call him St. Matthew. Read the story. He's a tax collector. Jesus got him off his job. A tax collector. In those days, this guy was hated with a passion by the children of Israel. They got to give their money to this guy. And everybody thought it was greedy. Everybody thought they were ripping him off. And in most cases, as I say, they were. But Jesus didn't pick him because he was the only one there. Jesus picked him because of us right here today. For this message. For you to see. For you to see. There's a place for each and every one of us around God's throne. All you got to do is give your life up to God. All you have to do is be obedient to the gospel. All you have to do is acknowledge you're sick. All you got to do is say, I need help. Church, there's a lot more to God, to Jesus, to salvation, than coming to church on Sunday morning. Lord knows it is. Lord knows it is. And when you got family members who don't believe and don't understand and don't see the Bible the way you are, that's the person you grew up with. You love them people. And you're trying to get a point across to them. Sometimes Satan can get in that conversation and put a block on both sides. You thinking all you can do is just throw the Bible at him and he's supposed to listen. You got that first step, the fact that you're just like him. A save is nothing but a sinner that fell down and got up. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. And until we get that in our hearts, we don't live this facade life that we're better than somebody else. It's only then that I'm going to be able to bring somebody into church. I don't believe for 1 minute that I'm straight, I'm right, I'm good, or any of that. I don't. What I do believe is God allowed me another day. I'm thankful. I do believe that. And I believe that any given time, that can come to an end whenever God is ready. I believe that. And I believe that if I do my best to follow this, my Savior, Jesus, will intercede for me. I believe that. I don't think there's any other assigned way to get salvation. I just don't think it is. And I think this teaching that's over 2,023 years old is any way different than what we need right now. I don't think it is. I'm not an Einstein. My fan belt slips a little bit. But it's certainly not off the pulley. You can believe that. So when we're here and we get this message where Jesus is teaching to them, and I love how he come back at the Pharisees. You know, it's like, let me get you straight. You're the government. And that's a lot of the problems that we have, whether we realize it or not. We send an awful message on how we carry ourselves. We do. You know, I have been in the Walmart working, and you pass somebody in, you know, and, you know, you ever just turn your bucket, you know, your bucket around, and you want to go down that aisle. You ever done that before? You think about that stuff. Well, maybe it's just me, you know. Maybe it's just me. I have been to the door. You say you right. You say you good. You went. Oh, let me get ready to back up in the parking spot and then somebody pulled in. Huh? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's in my world they pick on me. I got this big truck back here. I'm trying to get in and you come in. Woo, pull right in there with them little teeny weeny pocket cars. What you call them cars? Them little car. It's a little car. Huh? No, it's anyway, the little British car. Smart. It's like the smart car. The little team. Anyway, my point is, they test. Satan will allow situations to come in and try you. And you have to be on guard even when nobody's around. And you have to have that Christian heart when it just absolutely did not go your way. You still can't get upset, cuss, and return or retaliate. That ain't how that worked. And church, remember, by no stretch of the imagination are you better than anybody else. Don't fool yourself. I believe that we have to make God's word, or put God's word where it's up front in our life. Not just on Sunday morning, but it needs to be up front. We need to give second thought. We need to think about things. We need to think before. You know, I was looking at the obituary column for Tony's cousin up there. And I just happened to look down there, and I see one of my classmates. I ain't seen him since my high school year, but that's my classmate. And I don't know about you, but to me, there's a realness that sets in. There's a realness that sets in. See, I can put on a smile, and I can laugh, or whatever the case may be, but there's a realness that's come in. I told Greg, I said, we went over to his house. I enjoyed going over to your house. And he was telling me something. And I said, well, son, You're going to have to start doing this with your kids. His kids are getting up there, you know, getting up there. I remember when Gray was a little fella, I used to ride him on the back of my bicycle. He'd sit in the baby seat, and I would put him on my head, and he would put hickeys on my neck while he was sitting right there when I was riding the bicycle. But now, Greg, 30-something years old, he got kids. And I think about my, you know, you say, Greg, what are you? I put all this together, and I look at my classmate. That's the person I was with when I was 17 years old. Gone. And I ask myself, when is my time? Are you ready for your time? Your time is coming. I thank God for putting that, allowing that to go through my head because it keeps me straight. Mac, it lines me up with life. You know how they say, I need you grounded? I need you grounded. The Pharisees were not grounded. That's not reality. Reality is that Jesus told them, listen, I come to help the sick. I come for them. That's what I'm here for. You done got to the point where you don't think you need any help. Ain't no need to be messing with that. Don't do your life like that. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Tomorrow is not promised. I know I come here. I try my very best to preach a salvation sermon and a sermon that is applicable to us. The pitfalls of our Christian walk. We need to understand that we are no better than anything else out there. We need each other. And the last portion of what Jesus tells us, Jesus says, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. You know, he wants us to love each other, be forgiving to each other, help each other, minister to each other. You can't do that thinking he's better, you're better than him. You can't do that thinking that he's the thug that I can't talk to. You can't do that saying, well, they over there, they got drunk. Let me tell you something. I believe y'all love me and I believe y'all like me, but I come up in the house where my dad, every one of them drank. My mama wasn't there. My daddy raised us, but everybody in that house drank liquor. And I'm here. So if it's God's will, he'll bring you through it. If it's God's will, God's got a plan for all of us. We just got to accept the plan. Are you sick? If you're having problems, struggling, sometimes little things make you madder than other things, then two things you need to realize. Number one, that you're human. Number two is that you're sick. You need to understand that. And that's why we have this here. Which makes it more understanding when you get ready to talk to somebody about their situation and their problem. That's what God requires. By no stretch of imagination can you earn your way into heaven. It ain't going to happen. You can't do it. Give it up. You need Jesus. Whether you want it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, and come in here an hour and 45 minutes, don't get it. Not in and of it by itself. Your life needs to change. You need to take the doctor's medicine. That's the word. You need to take it. I'm closing. I'm going to finish. I know you're ready for me to get down here now. I'm going to close up. So when we're going through life and these struggles come at us and these situations come up and we have these notions where I say, I just don't want to feel, I don't feel like dealing with so-and-so today. I don't think I should be doing this. That's a time you need to get into that communication mode with God, with Jesus. You need to ask God for strength, prayer. You need to look at yourself. Don't worry about what the person done to you. Look at yourself. This helps me. Father, help me to be able to deal with this. I can't ask God, move him away from him because he got a short card. He outruns me into the parking spot. That ain't the kind of prayer you ask for. Lord, help me to be able to deal with the changing of people's personality. Help me be a person that can understand and accept and not get upset when these things come. Father, make me a stronger Christian. That way, maybe that person will see me and say, you know, he didn't act up. You'd be surprised at how people watch you and see you. You'd be surprised what people pick up off of you. I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to see my life through a clearer crystal glass and understand that I need help. I was able to see that I'm sick. I was able to understand and accept that I cannot cure myself. I was able to realize where my help come from. I need a doctor. And as we prepare to leave today, I ask you, as you go into your daily activity, look at yourself. And knowing that what you see may sometimes not be appealing to you, not what you like, ask God for help to be better. Ask God to help you with your sickness. The way we do that is by being obedient to the gospel and taking God's plan. We do that by hearing the gospel of Christ. You'll find that in Romans 13 and 17. Believe in Christ. You'll find that Mark 16, verses 15 through 16. Repent of past sins. You'll find that in Acts 2, 36 and 47. Confess Christ. That's important. All of this is important, but please, don't just say it to me. God knows your heart. The very thing that we've been teaching in Romans and Sunday school about the Holy Spirit interceding, He knows before you even get on your knees. Don't sit there and fool yourself. Don't do it. Be baptized. You'll find that in Acts 22 and 16 and Peter 3 and 21. And live faithfully until death. You'll find that in Revelations 2 and 10. Living faithfully. Please understand what that means. God is here. God is right here. All we need to do is allow Him in. That's all we need to do. If you have a need, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.